India's COVID-19 crisis worsens as oxygen and vaccines remain in short supply. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. India's Supreme Court has ordered the government to ensure its capital, New Delhi, gets oxygen supplies it needs by the end of the day today. The top court ruling comes as hospitals treating coronavirus patients have warned they're running out of oxygen. The run on supplies began about 2 weeks ago, but is only worsening as infection rates continue to surge. Over the weekend, India recorded its highest daily coronavirus death toll and became the first country to register more than 400,000 new cases in a single day. Both an oxygen and vaccine shortage has put the nation's health system under severe strain. And today, the head of India's Serum Institute put blame on Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government for ordering vaccines too late. The BBC's Davina Gupta has more on that.
Adar Poonawalla, who heads the world's largest vaccine maker, has blamed the government for not placing a bulk order in time with his company, which manufactures the AstraZeneca jab. In an interview with Britain's Financial Times, he said initially the government only ordered 21 million jabs. He has warned that the vaccine shortage will last until July, till the production is ramped up. To do that, he's planning to expand manufacturing capacity into other countries, including Britain. India is also offering its own indigenous vaccine and will be rolling out Russian Sputnik V jabs in the coming days. As India struggles in this pandemic, the government has expanded the vaccination drive to immunize more people. It lowered the age limit from 45 to 18, making an estimated 600 million more people eligible for the jab. But several states are running low on vaccine stocks.
That's the BBC's Davina Gupta reporting there. Checking the numbers now, India's benchmark stock index has reversed earlier declines. It's now a little changed on the day. Elsewhere, markets here in Britain and in mainland China and Japan are closed for public holidays. Across Europe, though, shares are largely higher, with indices up in the 0.2% range in Paris, Milan, and Frankfurt. This morning, children across France are settling back into their classrooms as the government eases its third COVID-19 lockdown. Later this month, outdoor dining and sporting events can return, but for many people, whether summer travel will be allowed is still a lingering question. Just this hour, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen gave the answer, as the BBC's Will Bain reports.
Europe should reopen its doors to travellers. Cautiously. That was the message from Ursula von der Leyen this morning as the European Commission published proposals for EU countries to once again allow non-essential visitors. There were caveats. Travellers must have had an EU-recognised vaccine, and the Commission suggested what it called a handbrake mechanism to allow countries to restrict travel at short notice should new COVID variants arise. The plans, while still to be voted on, will be music to the ears of millions of businesses across the continent as we head towards the vital summer vacation period. Almost 10 million Europeans are directly employed in the tourism sector, making up 5% of the EU's annual GDP, with young people in coastal areas particularly hard hit by the lack of international travellers. In London, I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
Staying on the topic of vaccines now, in Brazil, just 14% of the population has received their first dose of a coronavirus vaccine. That's due to many states now reporting a shortage of doses and a slow procurement across the country. The BBC's Mark Lowen has followed the rollout in a remote part of the Amazon.
As they load cool boxes carrying the vaccines into wooden motorboats, healthcare worker Dominique Oliveira says the AstraZeneca inside must remain at minus 8 degrees, and once open, the doses have to be used within 48 hours. The boats take us past grazing water buffalo to the archipelago of Bailique, population 13,000. As the vaccines are opened, Hamilton Lopez receives the first treasure for this island.
I caught the virus a year ago and I saw death. We are far from the city and people can't afford to go there by boat.
Carlene Lamberghi leads the healthcare team.
O índice de contaminação é muito grande.
The transmission rate is very high here. Hygiene is patchy. There is no filtered water. If one gets infected, it can bring down the whole island. They are abandoned by the government.
On a larger island, the medics call residents to queue up at the school to be vaccinated. but they're limited by Brazil's poor supply. The government of President Bolsonaro is criticized for failing to procure doses in time, with his skepticism towards the virus partly blamed for the death toll now exceeding 400,000. The challenge is not just delivering the doses to these rural cut-off communities, but breaking through widespread vaccine hesitancy here, mainly due to a lack of education and information. At the end of 2 days and 500 vaccine doses, the medics leave and Bailik returns to its isolation. COVID has torn through this country, but a shield has now arrived for those here, brought along the mighty Amazon, a source of life.
That's the BBC's Mark Lowen reporting there. Finally, you may soon be able to walk where Roman gladiators once clashed. Italy has unveiled fresh details of plans to build a new floor in Rome's Colosseum. Rotating wooden slats would allow visitors to stand in the center of the ancient amphitheater while also allowing light and ventilation into the underground passages there. The Colosseum is one of the world's most popular tourist attractions. It drew 25,000 visitors a day before the pandemic. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.